It is the eve of Halloween. This is your nightmare before Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad to be back. Thank Ian for doing the show, Ian and Coleman for doing the show while I was gone. I made a quick trip to Portland. And it takes two flights to get there and two flights to get home. That's going to change, though, because Alaska Airlines is going to have nonstops between New Orleans and Portland in 2025. So anyway, it's a full day getting there and a full day getting back. It was a quick trip. My granddaughter's birthday is on Halloween Day, but the party was Sunday. So I left after the show on a later flight and got there late Friday night and came back not right after the party, but a day or so after the party. And again, a quick trip, but I'm glad that I was there. And it was just, so great to see them and be with them. And, if you have kids or grandkids, you understand how I feel. I posted a picture of me. I don't often dress up, but I did dress up. And I posted a picture of me and my grandson and granddaughter at the party at this big balloon background that they had at the party. That's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And I want to write a blog. I've got, tonight is the Singing Trump. Tonight's the Singing Trump at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And it's a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And I guess there are tickets still on sale. There's adult beverages and food, snacks when you arrive. And it's going to be funny. I've seen this guy. I can't wait to see the whole show. But I've seen video of him. He looks like Trump, sounds like Trump. And then he sings and dances. Not that really Trump does that, but that's what's funny about it. Trump would never do this, but the guy does it. And really, this is about just making America laugh again. It's not about making fun of Trump. It's just having fun with just the stereotype of Donald Trump. And even if you're voting for Trump, even if you're a MAGA supporter, it's still about just having fun and exercising our sense of humor. So, a lot of people are going to be there tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. So I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to write it tonight, but maybe tomorrow. But, I'm really tired of this country being trashed. I'm tired of this country during this campaign cycle of this idea that America's like a garbage can, that we're bad, that everything about us is bad and negative. And you're hearing a lot about that as a campaign strategy. And damn it, America's not bad. We're still a great country. We've got a lot of problems. We've got things that we have to deal with. But we have always had problems from the inception of this country. Nothing is new with that. So, let's not just focus on how bad America is. If anybody from the outside said some of the things about America that Americans are saying about America, man, people want to kill them. So, I don't appreciate that. As an American, I don't appreciate it. You have the freedom to trash this country if you want. But this is still a very great country. And we've been talking this afternoon about that Trump rally and the comment about this floating island of garbage is Puerto Rico. And there are a lot of Puerto Rican voters out there. And sometimes it seems like Donald Trump doesn't even really want to win, that he's allowing things to happen and he's saying things that make it seem like he doesn't even want to win. He's not even trying to reach beyond his base. And he needs to do that to actually win. And I think there's a possibility that Donald Trump, I know somebody called earlier, and I think this is a legitimate point. He wants to win because he wants to stay out of jail, but I don't know. I don't see Donald Trump going to jail, even if he loses. I don't think that's going to happen. But Donald Trump will make more money if he loses than if he wins, because it doesn't seem like he's spending much money on campaign ads. It's a tight race, and Kamala Harris is spending a lot more than he is. And is he trying to save the money? Does he want to keep it for himself? Can he do that? And if he loses, he will contest the election. And people, these gullible people, will send him millions of dollars. People will be overjoyed to send him money. Even people who can't afford it, they'll send him money. So Donald Trump makes more money if he loses than if he wins. And he'll be free to, ask for money, and he'll get it. So there's a part of me that wonders if he really wants to win. And he loves confrontation. And there'll be great confrontation if he loses, and he loves that spotlight. I couldn't believe the other day I saw Rudy Giuliani on stage with him. If Donald Trump treated me the way he treated Rudy Giuliani, I wouldn't be anywhere near that guy. And Rudy Giuliani has lost so much because he represented Trump with the fake election fraud trial cases. There were cases, they weren't trials, but the lawsuits to overturn the election, the lawsuits to declare the election, whatever. I mean, it was a fake election. It was a false election, that the results weren't true and that Trump really won. Look at all that people like Rudy Giuliani lost following Trump's lead. Trump led them right into that. And then Rudy Giuliani's on stage with him? That's crazy. All right, so the campaign continues less than 1 week from today. Kamala Harris packed a crowd of about 75,000 supporters onto the Eclipse in downtown Washington, D.C. last night.
Harris says Donald Trump has spent a decade trying to divide Americans and keep them afraid of each other.
That is who he is.
Standing on the Eclipse near the White House, where Trump fomented the Capitol riot nearly 4 years ago.
I am here tonight to say that is not who we are.
Before a massive crowd spilling under the Washington Monument, Harris argued Trump's only in it for himself, while she's ready to work for all Americans from both parties as a new generation of leader.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to make your life better.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The problem is, I don't think Kamala Harris has done enough to tell us what she's going to do and how she's going to do it. I mean, Donald Trump isn't saying that either, but people don't care about that. But I mean, Kamala Harris, I think, has just been too vague with things. At about the same time that the Kamala Harris rally was taking place, right where the rally took place before the January 6th riot, President Biden said something about Trump supporters that caused a big controversy.
Did President Biden call Trump supporters garbage? The White House is trying to recover from an unforced error after the president's garbled remark on a campaign call Tuesday with Voto Latino Foundation CEO Maria Teresa Kumar. Biden said Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about the Latino community, and he called out comedian Tony Hinchcliffe for saying Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage at Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden. According to the White House transcript, Biden says the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. He then pauses and says his demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. Republicans like Senator Marco Rubio quickly seized on the remark.
Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage.
He spoke at Trump's Tuesday rally in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
He's talking about everyday Americans who love their country and want to dream big again and support you, Mr. President.
Biden later posted on X that he was referring to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico as garbage, and that's all he meant to say. Trump leaned in on his New York rally.
An absolute love fest.
But he distanced himself from Hinchcliffe, telling ABC News, someone put him up there, I don't know who he is. And telling Sean Hannity on Fox News he knows nothing about the comedian, concluding that probably he shouldn't have been there. I'm Jennifer King.
You know, almost everybody that Trump says he knows nothing about, it turns out he knows something about them. So don't believe that. I mean, vote for him if you want to, but just don't believe that. Because Donald Trump is not going to allow somebody on stage, and the people closest to him will not allow somebody on stage unless they know what they're going to do. All right, meanwhile, both campaigns are continuing their grueling schedules.
Today, the presidential candidates are again barnstorming through crucial swing states. Harris will campaign in Raleigh, North Carolina, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Madison, Wisconsin, while Trump takes the stage in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, before a rally in Green Bay with former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. Senator J.D. Vance holds a town hall in Bedford, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz speaks at what's billed as a community concert at the Orange Peel in Asheville, with Raleigh-based band American Aquarium, with the proceeds to be donated to hurricane flood relief. At a rally in Allentown, Pennsylvania Tuesday night, Donald Trump railed against Vice President Kamala Harris, saying the country can't afford another 4 years with a Democrat at the helm.
Kamala has embarrassed us. She doesn't have what it takes.
Harris pledged to put country over party and self in a speech with the White House backdrop.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to make your life better.
I'm Jennifer King.
Donald Trump's Truth Social network, which was tanking, now has a surge. Donald Trump's Truth Social is now worth more than Elon Musk's X, which used to be Twitter.
Trump Media and Technology Group is now valued at over $10 billion after its shares more than quadrupled since late September. Fidelity Investment Group estimates the value of X's holdings at around $9.4 billion. The stock of Trump Media, or TMTG, tends to move more with Trump's re-election odds than its own profit prospects, and investors see his chances of retaking the presidency as improving. By Tuesday's close, the stock was almost 9% higher at $51.51. That was on top of a 21.6% gain on Monday. Late last month, the stock was only worth about $12. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Elon Musk took Twitter, now called X, which is cool. It's a cool name. And ruined it. I mean, it's still worth a lot, but I mean, he's like single-handedly destroying it with his policies. The state of Virginia is proceeding with a very late-game purge of its voter rolls after the Supreme Court's conservative justices gave the go-ahead.
The Supreme Court is allowing Virginia to continue its purge of voter registrations. The state says the purge is aimed at stopping people who aren't U.S. citizens from voting. The justices granted an emergency appeal from Virginia's Republican administration. The court gave no rationale for its action, but that's typical in emergency appeals. The court acted on Virginia's appeal after a federal judge found that the state illegally purged more than 1,600 voter registrations in the past 2 months. A federal appeals court had previously allowed the judge's order to remain in effect. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Do you want to explain the mentality of teenagers who show up to harass people at a voting poll? These are political thugs. An 18-year-old with an 18-inch machete showed up to intimidate people at a Florida polling booth. In particular, two women were kind of harassed, verbally threatened, 154, 171 years old. They were holding signs in support of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And so these thug-minded teenagers were trying to harass them. Don't people have a right to vote? I mean, did I miss something? Or do we have a right to vote for whoever we want to vote for? If that has changed and I missed it, I mean, I'm busy. I got a lot going on. But if I miss that, do you want to call the show or send me a text and let me know when that changed? Don't we have a right to vote for whoever we want to vote for? Or has that changed? And also, there's a new ad warning Republicans that if the Republicans win, warning everybody, if Republicans win, there's going to be a ban on pornography nationwide. Should the government outlaw pornography? I'm Scoot, back with more of your calls and comments next on WWL. It is the eve of Halloween, tomorrow Halloween. We'll have a lot to talk about on the show tomorrow. We'll talk about some politics, which is really pretty scary anyway. And we'll also talk a lot about Halloween. Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, much love. The bartenders that work at the Dome are suffering. At Section 277, we still have a blast, but we miss our fans and cash tips. Well, all right, are you not tipping the bartenders at the bar at Section 277? Are you not tipping them? Come on, tip those people. They deserve your tips. Thanks for the text. I hope things turn out a little differently for the next Saints home game.
I think that goes back to what you were saying about if the Saints want fans to come to the Dome, they have to play better. So I think they were saying that since people aren't going to the games anymore, they're probably not participating as much.
I mean, the last game I went to, the last home game, they had a lot of people there. But fan discontent has reached a dangerous point for the Saints. Now, look, there's still excitement, and if you want to go to a Saints game, we've got a chance for you to win two tickets to the Saints-Falcons game. No matter what kind of season the Saints have, the game against the Falcons is always important. It's Sunday, November the 10th at Caesars Superdome. Now, you can win two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate party passes from Bullseye Event Group. It's an open bar with premium liquor. And they've got a lot of premium liquor, not just like one or two bottles of premium. No, the premium liquor you like, chances are they're going to have it. You can drink all you want. Well, be responsible. And it's an all-you-can-eat buffet with celebrity chef Aaron May. I was there before the last home game. It's awesome. It's overlooking Champion Square. It's really great. You can drink and eat and then go to the Dome. You'll save a lot of money by not spending any money in the Dome. And just walk over. It's really, it's a great party overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Just go to our website, wwl.com/contests with an S, and enter for your chance to win the tickets to see the Falcons and also to see the Saints hopefully beat the Falcons, and then for the VIP tailgate party from Bullseye Event Group. That is from Dudley DeBosier, the official injury lawyers of the Saints, and Saints Radio, WWL. All right, back to your calls. Let's go to Mid-City. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoop?
Good.
First off, out the gate. Yesterday, I voted yesterday, and it was a mixed bag. I voted for a Democrat and I voted for a Republican.
I think it's good when people vote for who they think is the best candidate and don't vote just strictly party lines.
Yeah, you know. One more thing before I finish. I think the word Democrat should be banned from politics simply because that was a party that brought in the Ku Klux Klan. You know, just like the Washington Redskins, just like the Redskins was banned, their name was banned. I think you could say the same thing for that word Democrat.
Well, but, it's not a derogatory term, and the party has changed. So I disagree, well, but I understand your point.
Okay. All right. You made a statement about being fair and balanced, and, the word I had used was incomprehensible, and with your statement, because, you know, it's like, Scoop, fair and balanced, okay? Now, we understand, at least I understand, this is a liberal talk show, right?
I don't think this is a liberal, that's your opinion. I don't think it's a liberal talk show.
I guarantee you. 50% of the people think this is a liberal talk show. Well, because you're a liberal. You're not a liberal host?
No.
You're not a liberal. No. You're not a liberal.
I'm a radical moderate. I'm a registered independent.
Well, I'm an independent too.
Okay. I lean right. People don't hear the things that I say that align me with conservative ideology. And I can't help that because I say those things. But I can't help it if they don't hear it.
The conservative stations, the statement was about the conservative stations because they're conservative that they're not fair and balanced. They say they're fair and balanced, but they're not fair and balanced. That's according to the way you interpret.
That's right.
And then you don't feel that. Are you obligated to be fair and balanced?
No,
and that's why I said that was hard for me to understand.
Well, I was making the point, Mike, that people, there are a lot of people, not everybody, but there are people who challenge me and think that I should be fair and balanced, but they don't promote the idea that conservative stations and conservative shows should be fair and balanced. That's hypocritical. This is all about freedom of speech.
I view this show as a liberal show with a liberal host.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
conservative, your
judgment.
A conservative. Yeah. Well, conservative station. They're a conservative station. They invite debate. Okay. They invite. So I think that's being fair. That's not only being fair. I think that's being fair and balanced. Okay.
I don't invite debate. There's no debate. There's no people who call up like you. How did you get on the show then? If you disagree with me, how did you get on the show if I don't invite debate?
Well, no, but Scoot, the premise was that you don't feel like you have to be fair and balanced.
I don't. Okay? Nobody in talk radio has to be fair and balanced.
Well, I have a hard time.
Do you think Sean Hannity is fair and balanced?
He's a conservative. Yeah, I think he's. I think he's balanced. I mean, he invite debate. Do we not invite debate?
Right.
That makes it. I think that makes it fair and balanced.
Yeah. If I don't invite debate, how did you get on this show? Why did we let you through?
I'm only going by what you said.
Why did we let you through?
You said that you don't have to be fair.
No, I don't have to be. I try to be as balanced as I can, but there's no law that requires me to be fair and balanced any more than there's a law that requires Sean Hannity to be fair and balanced. And the people that handle Hannity's show, if there's a debate on that show from somebody who disagrees with Sean Hannity, there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot. They basically promote Donald Trump. That's it. They're not fair and balanced. They don't give equal time to the other candidate. The wannabe conservative shows around the country, they are promoting Donald Trump. Period.
But they are for debate. Liberals are free to call those stations. Yeah.
And conservatives are free to call this station. I don't understand your point.
Well, you came across when you said the way that you said it, Scoot, to where about, well, I don't have to be fair and balanced, and that's the part that I struggle with.
Well, I feel
that you have an obligation to be fair and balanced.
I don't have an obligation to be fair and balanced. This is America, Mike. This is America.
Debate. I mean, you should be open for debate, okay? And we handle it there.
Mike, I gotta go. You're repeating yourself, so I gotta go. I gotta get to a break anyway. But there's debate on this show every day. So there's debate here. But my opinions don't have to be fair and balanced. We never filter callers because of their opinions. And a lot of conservative people call this show, Mike. I don't really understand what you're talking about. Because there's a lot of debate on this show. But in the same way that conservative radio does not have to be fair and balanced, Rush Limbaugh was not fair and balanced. Fox News is not fair and balanced. Newsmax is not fair and balanced. All of the wannabe conservative, lower tier conservative shows around this country are not fair and balanced. And the Sean Hannity's are not fair and balanced. There's no obligation on this show to be fair and balanced. We can say whatever we want to say. I mean, obviously, within reason, but in terms of expressing opinions, we can say whatever we want to say. And I just think it's so hypocritical for people to embrace what conservative radio does, strict right-wing conservative radio. And that dominates the country. They embrace what they do, which is being very one-sided. But they don't embrace somebody who doesn't do that. Now, I'm not doing anything differently than Sean Hannity does or any of the conservative talk shows. My opinions are different. But in theory, what I do is exactly the same. This is talk radio. This is not a branch of government. This is talk radio. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar from Melbourne, Australia, on this day in 1982. 82 was a time when the music of the 80s was really starting to come into focus. This was the number one song in the country, Who Can It Be Now? And Men at Work would follow up with three more top 10 hits. Down Under went to number one. Overkill went to number three. And It's a Mistake went to number six. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, during this election, I'm imagining what things should be like, and they're not like I imagine. I hope what I imagine becomes reality. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1971, John Lennon had the number one song in America and the number one song in the UK. Same time, it was his song, Imagine. Here's a text that says, My 90-year-old mother-in-law was going to vote in Metairie, and she was told by a woman standing outside the door, whatever you do, don't you dare vote for Trump. Well, was she too close to do that? I mean, people have a right to try to sway people, but if she's too close to the polling place and she's saying that, then somebody needs to stop that. Here's a text that says, this clown with the machete, someone should have dropped him the minute he started waving the machete. Here's a text that says, oh, this is about this mentality of these people that were intimidating Harris voters. one guy with a machete. That changed with Trump's first rallies when he encouraged supporters to attack anyone who spoke out. Oh, yeah, that was a shame. I remember that. Let's go to Tammy in St. Rose. Tammy, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoo. It's been a long time. Have you missed me?
I missed you, Tammy.
Okay, good. So I've been a victim of the cancel culture.
Really?
I went to the, yes, really.
What
I know,
happened?
Me, a middle-aged buxom blonde.
Wow.
Out in St. Charles Parish, yeah. So I went to vote early in person, and I took a little snapshot of the sign that says reserved for voter, early voters. And so went and voted, and I went on Facebook, and I posted this. And I said, regardless of the outcome, insurgency is not the answer. The United States of America is a young nation. Resort to that already in this relative to history heyday is like a toddler throwing a tantrum. Vote, please, my friends. I did, and I know it is valid.
And that so got you that. In Facebook jail?
Yes, I'm in jail. I can't post.
I'm shocked. That
I only wish I had been there with the machete boys.
That doesn't sound very threatening in any way.
I think there's an AI algorithm that's just doing its thing, but yeah. I think it's sad that there's no human being that looked at that.
Yeah, maybe you used a few of the wrong words, but it doesn't sound like when it's all put together, it doesn't sound like that it was anything wrong except you were expressing your opinion.
And I believe, honestly, Kamala should be focusing more on January 6th.
Yeah.
I think that this was a tragedy that was instigated. And I believe that there should be more emphasis put on that.
Well, there's a fear of what may happen when Donald Trump, there's a possibility that Donald Trump could become unhinged if he wins because there's no way he can face the voters again because this will be his second time in office and he won't be able to vote face the voters again. I'm still haunted by his statement, if you vote for me, you'll never have to vote again. When I think about that in January 6th, it scares me.
I believe that Kamala is making a mistake. I don't want to spread panic. That's not me. I believe we're a nation of really level-headed people when it comes down to most of us. But I also believe that there are things that occurred that need, I think, more light should be shed on them during this election.
And I do think, as I've said many times, we're going to all survive this. Tammy, I've got to get to a break. It's good to have you back, so thanks for calling. We're going to survive this. No matter what happens, no matter who wins, we're going to survive this. On this day in 1968, this was the number one song in the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. But it was also done by The Miracles in 1966, Gladys Knight in 1967. And didn't Creedence Clearwater Revival do this as well? I think so. Yeah, a lot of people did this song, but Marvin Gaye's version was number one on this day in 68. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Wednesday afternoon, so we're halfway to the weekend, and, a big break tomorrow, because, people kind of take some time off, mentally at least, to enjoy Halloween. But, yeah, we're halfway to the weekend. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller coming up next. They'll give you an update on the practicing of Derek Carr. Looks like Derek Carr may be back in the lineup. Don't forget, tonight, the Singing Trump is at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. It's a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. I think you could still get tickets. Go to the website, BillyNungesser.com. BillyNungesser.com and get tickets. I mean, it should be a fun night. We're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow, but I want to focus on Halloween. We'll talk about some politics, but let's focus on Halloween and all of that frenzy about poison and candy and all that stuff. That was all based on a myth. So we'll set the record straight on that. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, studio producer, Coleman, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. And I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.